So with this week's shiur, we're starting with Sefer Hosea, which is not a Sefer. It is part of the Sefer of Triasar. Triasar is the 12 minor prophets. So one can ask, every other Navi gets their own Sefer. Why did the Triasar get all pushed together into one? And in the Gemara, it states, very practically, that Sfarim used to be each on their individual scroll. And if you had a scroll that consisted of three prakim, like we have in Sefania, or any of these shorter Nevi'im, the scrolls would have been lost because they would have been too hard to preserve and they would have ended up being lost. So in order to preserve these Nevuot for generations, they combined them into one larger scroll.
Do you have any more handouts?
I do not. I'm sorry. Is anyone able to share? I'm so sorry. I'll bring more next week. So these 12 prophets were combined into one larger Sefer. I would love to say that they go in a beautiful chronological order. I would like to say that they're all during the same time period. They're not. So when we discuss any one of the Triasar, I will try to give a little bit of context so we get an idea of who they were, who they're speaking to, what their audience is, and what time period they lived during. So starting with Hosea. Hosea is a prophet from the 8th century BCE, and he prophesied during the rule of Yeravam of the kingdom of Israel and Uzziah of the kingdom of Yehuda. So as we know at this point, the kingdom was already split. His main audience is the area of Ephraim. So he is prophesying to Ephraim, which is in the kingdom of Israel, not in the kingdom of Yehuda. We know very little about Hosea, but there is a lot to gain from the Nevuot of Hosea. The first three prakim of Hosea deal with what is called a performance prophecy, that Hashem gives Hosea a commandment to marry a prostitute, and he is going to act out his prophecy to the people of Israel that will demonstrate the dissolving of the relationship between Bnei Israel and Hashem. So I want to take a look in the first parak of Hosea. Davar Hashem asher haya al Hosea ben Be'eri b'yamei Uzziah Yotam Achaz Yechezkiah Malchei Yehuda u'b'yamei Yeravam ben Yoash Malch Yisrael. So it gives us first the context during which time period Hosea was prophesizing. Tchilat diber Hashem b'Hosea v'yomer Hashem al Hosea lich kach lecha ishet zinunim v'yaldei zinunim ki zano tizneh ha'aretz me'acharei Hashem. We already see what one of the milot manchot, the repeated words, will be in Sefer Hosea, and that is znus, or the shoresh of zana, which is to stray, to prostitute oneself. So saying you are going to go take a harlot wife, and you are going to have children with this woman. Because why did Hashem command this? Because Bnei Israel have strayed from God. We have left our relationship with God. Hosea went and he took Gomer bat Divlayim as a wife. Vatahar vateled lo ben. And she becomes pregnant and bears a son to him. Vayomer Hashem elav kara shemo Yisrael ki od me'at upakadati dimei Yisrael al beit Yehu vihishbati mamalchot beit Yisrael. So he says they bear a first son, and he said, call this son Yisrael. Why? Because I am going to soon take revenge against the people in the valley of Yisrael. V'haya b'yom hahu v'shavarti akeshet Yisrael b'emek Yisrael. I will break the bow of Bnei Yisrael in the valley of Yisrael. V'tahar od v'teled bat, and interesting to note, it no longer says v'teled lo bat. It says she became pregnant and had another daughter, implying that it very well may not be his daughter. And she gave birth to a daughter, v'kara shema lo ruchama, that God has no mercy. Ki lo osif od arachim et beit Yisrael, because God will no longer have mercy on the house of Israel. Ki naso eseh lahem. Because this is what they deserve. This is what is coming to them. The Beit Yehuda erachim, v'hoshiyatim b'Hashem Elokim, v'lo oshiyim b'kushet v'charev u'milchama u'besusim u'berprashim. But and even the this is what will happen to the people of Israel, but also to the kingdom of Yehuda, I will not have mercy, they will also lose in war. Vatigmol at lo ruchama vatahar vatilad ben. And again it says, lo ruchama was weaned, and she again bore a son. Vayomer karashmo lo ami. You should name him not my people. Ki atem lo ami, because you are no longer my people. Va'anochi lo eheya lachem, and I will not be to you. So this is a very strong prophecy. And this is what is commanded to Hosea. You have to take this wife who is going to stray from you. She's a prostitute. That's her being. She is going to stray from you.
Is he allowed to live with her after that?
So that's going to be the question of our shiur. You got it. And you are going to bear these children. And each of these children are going to have a symbolic name to the people of Israel. And this whole prophecy is going to demonstrate to Bnei Israel how they have acted towards Hashem, how they have strayed from him. And therefore, lo ruchama, Hashem will no longer have mercy, v'lo ami, and you are no longer my people. But question, there are many halachic problems with marrying a prostitute, including even if one were to say she was only a prostitute before she married him. If it seems to be that she strayed again while marrying him, while being married to him, is he allowed to remain married to her? There are many problems with being married to a woman like this. And for this question, I wanted to look into the sources and saw that there are many places in Navi where the Navi is commanded either to do something that is against halacha, or something that is extremely demeaning, or extremely hard. And the Mefarshim address all of these questions together. Why would Hashem command a Navi to do something that is against halacha? Why would Hashem command a Navi to do something that is incredibly demeaning? And why would Hashem command a Navi to do something that is incredibly difficult? There are a number of examples. Another example of Hashem commanding a Navi to do something that's against halacha is that Hashem told Yechezkel to shave his entire head. And we know, as it says in Vayikra Yotet, lo tekifu pe'at roshechem, you are not allowed to shave off the corners of your head, v'lo tashchit et pe'at ziknecha, and you cannot destroy the corners of your beard. So how could Hashem command Yechezkel to shave off his entire head? As it says in Yechezkel, v'ata ben adam, kach lecha charev, you should take a sword, chada ta'ar haglavim tekachana lecha, v'avarta al roshecha, you should take them and you should shave, you should pass it over your head, the alzeknacha, and over your beard. And you should take a scale and divide the hair into three. Shlishit ba'or tavir, bitoch ha'ir, kimelot yamim hamatzor, v'lakachta tashlishit takeh b'charev sviyoteha, v'shlishit tizrach l'ruach. One third you should burn, one third you should spread it out with a sword and cut it apart, and a third part you should scatter to the wind. So he tells Yechezkel, you have to destroy all the hair of your head, which is directly in opposition to what it says in Sefer Vayikra. An example of something extremely demeaning, Hashem commands, I'm pretty sure it's Yirmiyahu, it'll come up later and I will double check that, that he must eat food cooked with human waste. Why would God command the Navi to do something like that? You see a Navi and you would say, how could he do that? Or definitely Yirmiyahu, who was commanded to walk around naked. Why would God command that? Or an example of something extremely difficult. One of the Nevi'im was commanded that he had to travel very far distances regularly to show hardship to Bnei Israel. Why would we have these commands? As the title of the shiur is, isn't the Navi meant to be a role model? Doesn't it have to be someone that people are going to respect? How can you respect someone that you see walking through the street eating human waste? Or someone that you see, why would I listen to them when he says to follow Hashem if I see him directly violating a Torah prohibition? So that's a question we're going to look into. And there's a number of approaches. The first understanding is the approach of the Ibn Ezra, the Rambam, and the Radak. So if we first look in the Ibn Ezra, Ne'um Avraham HaMechaber.
Where are you reading?
I'm reading in the Ibn Ezra. It should be right there. Is everyone with me? Okay. In the first line. Chalila chalila, sheyetzaveh Hashem lakachat eshet zinunim veholid yaldei zinunim. God forbid, should it be that God actually commanded Hosea to take a prostitute wife. V'ha'omer diyo la'eved lehiyot kerabo, lo ne'emar al zeh. Kiznut me'acharei Hashem derech mashal, rak ba'adam hu ba'ma'aseh. V'hanachum be'inai, kizeh hanavi hayaro'eh b'mar'ot nevu'ah b'chalom halayla. So he said, it can't be that Hosea was physically commanded to carry out this prophecy. How would someone listen to someone who was doing something like this? Rather, it must be that Hosea was commanded and it was all in a dream. It was all in a prophetic vision. It did not actually happen. As it says, Leich kach lecha isha tzununim, v'halach v'lakach isha yedua, v'harata v'yalda koza b'mar'ot hanevuah. He said this entire prophecy happened within a prophetic vision. So we can say, that makes sense, that Hosea had to see this vision. He had to experience, in some sense, through prophetic vision, and then he gave over the message to the Jewish people. The approach of the Ibn Ezra. The Rambam says on a similar note, if you skip down three lines from the bottom, Hakol hu b'mar'eh hanevu'ah, lo shehim pa'alim nimtza'im l'chushim hanira'im. So he says this happened to Hosea in a prophetic vision. So what does it mean that he took this wife and had these children? Hosea felt as if it happened to him because he experienced it through prophecy, but to the people around him, it did not actually happen. So just a way of saying that it happened in prophetic vision, it didn't happen literally in the world. And lastly, the Radak says on the same note, if you skip down four lines, v'kolze haya b'mar'eh hanevu'ah lo shalakach Hosea hanavi ishet zinunim. Again, the Radak agrees and says, Hashem, there is no way that Hashem commanded Hosea to literally take this wife and have these children. Rather, it all happened b'mar'eh hanevu'ah, in a prophetic prophecy, in a prophetic vision. The reason they are so inclined to say this is, as we said, how could someone trust a Navi that was transgressing the words of Hashem while telling them to follow the words of Hashem? It wouldn't make sense, and therefore, the Rambam, Ibn Ezra, and Radak are all comfortable saying that it happened through a vision, that Hosea experienced it through prophecy and gave over the message to the Jewish people. So that's one approach. On the other hand, we have way on the other side that say it happened literally. This is the approach of the Rid and the approach of the, very famously, of the Abarbanel, because the Abarbanel writes in a very lengthy response about this. The Rid says, Kachacha ishet zinunim, ubipnei she'amar behoshaya, velo amar lehoshaya, yesh lefareish shehu lashon dibor, bimo v'hadiber im bahem shepirusho v'hadibor. Af kan tchilat diburo shel shim behoshaya amar lo kach lecha ishet zinunim. So this is saying Hashem literally commanded Hosea. This was a dibur. This was something he was actually commanded to do, to take an ishet zinunim. Yesh lomar she emet haya kemo shachav tzedek tzidcha diachaskel v'yashaya halach arom. Sorry, it was Yeshayahu that was commanded to walk naked. V'yachav shloshanim. So he was saying, how do we know that this literally happened to Hosea, that Hosea had to actually take this wife? He ends by saying, the same mouth that said that you are not allowed to do this thing is now the one that's saying you are allowed. So why would Hashem command this? Because just as Hashem commanded that it wasn't allowed at one point, Hashem is now saying that in this situation, it is allowed. So it's not so problematic because it is Hashem that is saying it wasn't allowed, Hashem that is saying that it is allowed. They wouldn't lose the respect of the people. Also, the Rid continues on in the rest of his answer that was not given. P people were very used to the Nevi'im carrying out symbolic actions. There was always this idea of the Nevi'im doing interesting things to prove their point. It wouldn't really strike the people as so strange, even though it would occur to us as being very strange. The people were used to the Nevi'im carrying out symbolic acts. So in the way that we think it may have lost their trust, it wouldn't have occurred to them as the same way. And famously, the Abarbanel. I gave you a portion of it, but we're going to do the Abarbanel outside just because it's a very, very long answer, so I gave you a portion. But the Abarbanel says that people are saying it is problematic that a Navi should carry out an action that is against the word of Hashem, but he also says it's also incredibly problematic to not take something written in the Torah literally. And that's the approach of the Abarbanel, that he finds it much more problematic to say that this episode that is recorded in the Torah didn't literally happen, then he finds it problematic to wrap his head around it actually happening. So he said he'd rather say that Hosea went and took a prostitute as a wife than say that we should not take something written in the Torah literally. And as the Abarbanel continues and says, why would Hashem command Hosea to do this? And he said, because something that is seen is very different from something that is heard. That someone might know something, someone may have heard something and might cognitively understand it, but until you see it, it doesn't make the same kind of point. So just saying to Bnei Israel, you have strayed from God, you have left the relationship with God, does not make nearly as strong of a point as them seeing Hosea go through this marriage with the prostitute who leaves him and has these children, and he sends her away and brings her back. Seeing that whole episode play itself out made a much stronger point to Bnei Israel, and that's why Hashem commanded him to do so. So those are the two extreme approaches. One, that it definitely didn't happen. It happened in prophetic vision. And the other side, that it 100% happened exactly as recorded. There is a middle approach. This is the approach of the Shaddal that says there was non-literal fulfillment, that it did happen literally, but not in exactly the way that it was written in the text. So if we look in the Shaddal, V'ugot se'orim tochalna. He comments in Yechezkel when Yechezkel was commanded to eat food cooked with human waste. That's where he makes his comment, but it applies to all the other cases. Nir'eh, you should see, ki ha'ugot ha'suyot miso'arim, hayu osin otam b'tavnit miyuchadet bilti mehudera kitzurat ugot chitin. He says, Yechezkel was not actually baking with human waste. He did not bake it into the food. V'ulai kenda Rashi, v'hine ko uga haita ne'efit al gabe gechalim. V'tziva oto sheyihu ha'gechalim megalgelim miyoshvim kederach sheosim v'hader ha'itim. So he says, rather, the cookies or whatever he was making, the ugot, these baked products, was baked over coals, and those coals were mixed with waste. So it's not that he was walking, as if that makes it much better. Makes it infinitely better. But, so he's saying, there's this non-literal fulfillment, that it says in the Torah he should cook with human waste. But what it actually was he was cooking over a flame that had waste mixed in. It's not that the Navi was walking around eating waste. So in the same way, he would apply it to Hosea and say, sorry. And he would say that he was walking around, there was not an exact halachic problem with him marrying this woman, that she only was a prostitute before she got married, and since he wasn't a Kohen, sorry about that. I'm keeping everyone safe. As he was not a Kohen, it was not actually a halachic problem to be married to her. So the Shaddal is looking to find ways that what is written in the text happened, but in a much less problematic way. Like, for example, for the Nevi'im that are told to walk very long distances and travel very far. He says they were not literally traveling back and forth, as it would say, daily, because it was way too long of a journey. He would say it happened in a way that it was much more possible that it happened, but still made a similar point. So it was written in a stronger way than the way it actually happened in reality. So there's these three camps. There's the prophetic vision, there's literal fulfillment, and then there's the non-literal fulfillment. So I think the question has to be asked, if we have to go through all of this study and looking in all of these places to understand why Hashem would possibly give this example to Hosea and why God would command Hosea to do this, why was it so important that Hosea did this? Like, why did it have to be this exact vision? Like, couldn't Hashem have just said to Hosea, Bnei Israel have strayed and served other gods, tell them they served other gods, I'm no longer with them, such and such is going to happen. Why do we have to have this metaphor? Why do we have to have this mashal given to us of the Ishet Zenunim, of the prostitute wife that strays? What is so important about that mashal? How can we understand that mashal? That it was worth it for Hashem to have us go through all of this difficulty understanding it in order to make the point. Okay, so I want to look, why was this mashal so important? How do we understand it? And I believe the answer is that our relationship to Hashem is so often compared to a marriage because it is a very strong messaging. That the points that we are able to make through an example of a relationship, an example of a marriage, is so strong, and that's why it is used so often. So while it is used many times for the positive, the fact that it is used here for the negative makes the strongest possible point. So what are some places that our relationship to Hashem is compared to a marriage or a relationship? Most famously, probably in Sefer of Shir HaShirim, that the entire Sefer can be understood, according to many Mefarshim, as our relationship between us and Hashem. So that's a very strong example of how our relationship to Hashem can be compared to a romantic relationship. Another example is at Matan Torah, that people often describe this was the wedding of the Jewish people to Hashem, and that so many things that we learn about and that we practice at a Jewish wedding come from things that happened at Matan Torah. So those are two very strong examples that we see. Often for the positive, our relationship with Hashem is described as a marriage, as a romantic relationship. And then it switches to the negative. And we see, if you look in Sefer Yeshayahu, Echa hayta lezona kerya ne'amana meliti mishpat tzedek yalin ba ve'ata meratchem. We know in Sefer Echa, we know in Sefer Yeshayahu, Yerushalayim, or the Jewish people are described as a zonah, someone who strays, as an almana, as a widow. This imagery of the Jewish people being left alone, left as either a barren woman, a widowed woman, or a woman who strayed are very common when it comes to describing the Jewish people after or approaching the destruction of the temple. The Gemara in Pesachim explains the pre-conversation between Hashem and Hosea to explain why we needed to use this mashal. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeHosea. Hashem said to Hosea, "Banai echatu, my children have sinned. V'haya lo lomar, and what should Hosea have answered? He should have said, Banai echim, b'nei chinunich. Hashem, they are still your children. These are your dear children, heim b'nei Avraham, Yitzchak, v'Yaakov, they're children of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Gilgal rachamecha aleihen, please have mercy on them. Lo dio shalo amar kach, rather, not only did Hosea not say this, but what did he say? Amar kach ila, okay, get rid of them. Amar lefanav ribono shel olam. So Hashem said before Hosea, kol ha'olam shelcha, Amar lefanav ribono shel olam. He said before Hashem, the whole nation, the whole world is yours. Hu haviram be'uma acharet. Okay, great. Get rid of them. Choose another people. Amar kadosh baruch hu, ma e'eseh lezakin zeh. Omer lo kach v'kach ishaz. Amar lo lech v'kach ishazuna. So Hashem said, I need to explain this to Hosea. I need him to understand. So at that point, Hashem said, please go take this prostitute wife, v'holi lecha banim zinunim, and he will have these children with her. V'achar kach omer lo shalcha me'al panecha. And then he said to Hosea, send her away from you. Im hu yachol l'shlalach, afani ashlacha Yisrael. If you have no difficulty in sending her away, so too I will send away Bnei Yisrael. Shene amar, v'yomer Hashem el Hosea, Lech kach lecha ish et zinunim v'yaldei zinunim v'chtev v'yilach v'yikach et gomer v'adiv layim. And that's when it says that Hoshea went and he took this wife. So this Gemara in Pesachim is saying to us that when it comes to Hashem and the Jewish people, there is a lot of emotion. There is an extremely close connection. That when Hashem said to Hoshea, I'm done with the Jewish people, Hoshea should have understood that this is extremely difficult. He should not have just said to Hashem, okay, so choose another nation. And Hashem needed Hoshea in order to be able to prophesize to the people about the impending destruction. He had to understand what this meant to Hashem and what this meant to the Jewish people. That Hoshea couldn't approach it as, okay, the Jewish people didn't listen to Hashem, so Hashem is just going to send them away. This is an extremely emotional relationship. Obviously, Hashem does not experience human emotions. But to understand the connection between Hashem and the Jewish people, Hoshea really had to understand what it meant to be in this relationship, and a relationship that is broken. And that's why Hashem commanded him, specifically, go take for yourself a wife, and then commanded him that he had to send her away. So that Hoshea could feel the emotion that was going into this separation. So it says in Hoshea, Kizantaima hovisha horatam ki amra elecha acharei mehavai netonai lachmi umemai tsamari vipishti shmini visikuyi. In that their mother has played the harlot. She conceived them and has acted shamelessly because she thought, I will go after my lovers who supply my bread, my water, my wool, and my linen, my oil, and my drink. So when Hoshea sends away this wife that he has taken, she goes and looks and thinks that she will find her other lovers and that they will provide for her. However, Lachin, Hinani sachat arkacha besirim v'gedarti akadira v'netivotai lo timsa v'retfa et ma'ahaveha v'lo tasigotam u'bikashtem v'lo timsa. So when this wife is sent away from Hoshea, she goes and she looks for her other lovers. And we have this language, u'bikashtem v'lo timsa. Then when we're understanding this mashal, it starts here that we say, ubikashtem v'lo timsa, that she is looking and she doesn't find. So where do we find the solution to this? How do we understand why was this so important? What does this language lead us to? It says in Icha, karati lema'ahavai, that I went to look for my lovers, when it is describing Yerushalayim, heimari muni kohanai uzakanai be'ir gavu ki bakshu ocha lamo v'yashivu enasham. I cried out to my friends, but they played me false. That Yerushalayim goes through this same search. That like this woman who, when she is sent away from Hoshea, goes to look for her other lovers and they're no longer there. In Eicha, it describes that Yerushalayim goes to look for the Kohanim and goes to look for the Zekanim and they are not there for her. That we have abandoned Hashem in the same way that this wife felt abandoned. And this imagery and this messaging is very strong. That when Bnei Yisrael saw it played out through Hoshea sending around this wife, they understood, wow, there's such loss, there's such separation, there's so much pain there. And then they can apply it back to themselves. That's why it says, v'lo matzah, that there's this idea of searching and not being able to find. However, then, as Sefer Hoshea goes on, it's not all sad. It's not all that he takes this wife and then sends her away and there's this pain and there's this separation and this tremendous loss. Rather, Sefer Hoshea turns around and it ends with some of the most promising romantic imagery between us and Hashem, that of betrothal to Hashem. So how do we see this turnaround? In the Torah reading that we read, we read Hoshea on Shabbat Shuva. So in the Torah reading it says, Ubikashem misham et Hashem elokecha, umatzata, and you will find Hashem. Then now we're seeing this turnaround that we saw originally starting in our Sefer and Hoshea, and then we saw in Icha that there's this language of lo matza, that searching out for the love and the support and having it not be found. And then we see that it's in Sefer Devarim it says, "Ubikashta mishamat Hashem elokecha umatzata," that when you search out Hashem, you will find him. Ki tidrashenu b'chol levavcha u'b'chol nafshecha. What is the condition? The condition is if you're searching out Hashem with your whole heart and your whole being, that's when it will switch from the lo matza to the umatzata, that you will be able to find Hashem. And that's when we get to the most beautiful line in Hoshea that is famously said, printed on many wedding invitations, and it is famously, it's beautiful, a beautiful pasuk. And it is also said when you put on tefillin in the morning, not when we put on tefillin in the morning, when one puts on tefillin in the morning, you're going to get in trouble there. It says in Hosea Parak Bet, Ve'arastich li la'olam, ve'arastich li b'tzedek u'b'mishpat u'b'chesed u'b'rachamim. And I will espouse you forever. I will espouse you with righteousness and justice and with goodness and mercy. And I will espouse you with faithfulness. Then you shall be devoted to the Lord. So right after we have Parak Aleph that describes this entire tragic scene of taking this wife, having these children, lo ruchama, lo ami, you are not my people, I will not have mercy. Hashem says right away in Parak Bet, Ve'arastich le'olam, and you will be betrothed to me forever. Ve'arastich li b'tzedek u'mishpat, and I will betroth you with justice and with judgment, u'b'chesed u'b'rachamim, and with kindness and with mercy. Ve'arastich li be'emuna, and I will betroth you with faithfulness. V'yadata et Hashem, and you will know Hashem. So the Malbim has a beautiful explanation of this pasuk that I think really brings home the point of why did we have to have this imagery. It's so problematic. And we've said that still, it's a strong imagery of being able to make this point because our relationship with Hashem is often described as a marriage. And that's why we have to specifically have this imagery of breaking a marriage to understand the loss that we're feeling. But I think the Malbim adds an extra level that we can really take a beautiful message from. Ve'arastichli, ve'az eros otcha mechadash. He's saying, I will betroth you again. We'll have this renewal, a new relationship. We are compared in our relationship to Hashem as a chatan, like a chatan and a kala. So too, we will be wedded to Hashem. V'hiyu irusin chadashim nivdalim min hakudmin. That we will have a new relationship, a new engagement that is different from the first. Kemo shekatuv v'karati et Beit Yisrael brit chadasha. That I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel. Chi ha'erusin hakudmim hayu rak lazman. Because before the engagement that we had, this relationship that we had was only temporary. Chi hayu atidim lechto ulevatel hakasher. Because we knew that in the future they were going to sin and they were going to lose this connection. As it's quoting from Hosea, that they would have these children who would stray. Kiavata vidin maher, that they would quickly be lost. The kam ha'am hazev is a na'acharel kenichar, v'chule, v'chara apobo. That this people of Israel, they were in this relationship with God, and then they got up and they left the relationship. They broke this relationship. They went after other gods. And Hashem was angry at them. But now, with this new relationship, they will no longer sin and they will no longer break this connection that they have. As it says, that it says, I will betroth you forever. And it says, so how will this new relationship come about? How do we know that this one will be everlasting? Because it says, "Sha'arastich li b'tzedek u'b'mishpat," that I will betroth you with tzedek and mishpat, with righteousness and justice and judgment. Ki shleimut ha'adam taloi b'shnei dvarim, because the wholeness of a person is reliant on these two things. B'dvarim shebino lebin chaviro, that it's about how we interact with other people. B'dvarim shebin adam lemakom, and how we relate to Hashem. V'neged varim shebin adam l'chaviro amar sheyasu as sedek u'mishpat. And that's why first it says, how should we first approach creating this new relationship with Hashem? Through tzedek and mishpat. We should interact with other people properly. Sheh'mishpat humashi naheg kifi shirat hadin. Because when it says, why does it say both of these things, tzedek and mishpat? Mishpat is when you do exactly what you're supposed to do. You act according to the letter of the law. V'hatzedek humashi enaheg lefnim mishurat hadin. And it adds this level of tzedek, because tzedek is when you go above the letter of the law. You do above what you are supposed to do. She'at tavil lenidan shnei aninim yikarim shehim tzedek v'mishpat. Yavi ha'maris lahem kinegdam shegam kin shtei matanot yikarot shehim chesed v'rachamim. So we're saying first we have these two aspects, that we have to have mishpat and tzedek. We have to do not only what we are supposed to do, but go above and beyond whatever we are meant to do. And then on the next level, we have chesed v'rachamim. Shebaal harachamim yashkif al zekaot hamiruchav ve'inav ve'yaset kefi haraway. And these parallel those. That someone who has rachamim is someone who sees that someone needs something and gives them what they need. V'zeh neged mishpat. And this is the same as mishpat, that you see what needs to be done and you do according to what you are supposed to do. Ubal hachesed. But what is this extra level of chesed? Lo yashkif al hamikabel im hura'oi, rak ya'aseimo mitzan midat chasdo. You don't just look what people need and fulfill the need. You go above and beyond. Before you even know what they need, you just give. It comes from a place within yourself that you just give, regardless of what the person needs. V'ze neged tzedek she'ya'asu heima. And this is going above and beyond. So what is the Malbim saying? What about this creates this everlasting relationship? So the Malbim is saying that there's two levels that are described in two ways in the Pasuk. There's Mishpat, or Rachamim, that is seeing what is needed and fulfilling that need. And then there's the level of Tzedek, and there's the level of Chesed, that's going above and beyond what is needed and fulfilling that need. So the Malbim is saying that when we come into our relationship with Hashem, we each need to bring some of these things. So what is this language of betrothal with Hashem? We're coming and Hashem is saying, Va'arastich li b'tzedek u'b'mishpat. That I'm coming into this relationship with tzedek and mishpat. That I'm coming not only going to fulfill as Hashem, I don't only give you what you need, I go on beyond, above and beyond what is needed. And then it is responded and said, Chesed and Rachamim, also in a sense of giving, not just in the way we interact with other people, in the sense of giving and chesed, it's above and beyond what is needed. And then the bride answers, the bride is us, and we say, okay, Hashem, when you give these things to us, come into this relationship with us, and you give to us in this way, we respond to Hashem and we say, V'arastich li be'emunah, and we place our faith in Hashem, and Hashem then answers with V'yada'at Hashem. That it is only when it is a two-part relationship that we can reach this ultimate closeness with Hashem, that we have these multiple levels in our relationship with Hashem, of the basic level, of this give and take with Hashem, of Hashem gives us what we need and goes above and beyond, and we give to other people and we return in our relationship with Hashem, of not just the baseline, what is needed, but going above and beyond. And then we say to Hashem, we believe in you. We are going, when it doesn't make sense, when those things don't work, it's not just doing what we see is needed. It's going above that and saying, we have emunah in Hashem. We have belief in this relationship. Then we reach via da'at Hashem, that we can reach this ultimate closeness with Hashem. So what do we learn from this? Hashem says this statement, not at the end of, I don't know, in beautiful prophecies about our beautiful relationship with Hashem. That's not when Hashem says to us, "V'arastich li le'olam," that I will betroth you forever. What is this coming during? This is coming right after Hosea is saying, "I married this wife. I sent her away. This is exactly what you've done. You've sent Hashem away." And as Hashem is saying, "V'arastich li le'olam," he's at that point. He's saying, "Right now, our relationship is not where it should be. It's a broken relationship." As you just saw, that Hosea made such a strong point. He put himself through this. He put himself through a broken relationship. And he says, right now, it's just me in this relationship. Only Hashem is left there. Bnei Israel have left. And it's at that point that Hashem teaches them, that's how to fix the relationship with Hashem, is to recommit yourself, is to rejoin. Right now, it's terrible. And we just saw that through this very strong imagery of Hosea. And Hashem is saying, right now it's half, and when you give your half, that's when we'll reach V'yada'at Hashem. And Hashem gives us in this point of a very low relationship with Bnei Israel to say to them, I'm still there. I'm still there. You're not here right now. You're not in this relationship. But I, Hashem, I am still there. And when you answer this with giving me your emunah and you return your faith to me, that is when we're going to have this relationship. So I think if we connect this back to the beginning, who would trust a Navi who's doing something against the word of Hashem? So we went through all this complicated learning of, did it literally happen? Did it not literally happen? And then said, what's the point of this? Why do we need this imagery? And I think the answer is, as we see, that the imagery of a relationship with God is not only strong when it's for the positive and it's a beautiful imagery of Matan Torah or Shir HaShirim, but when it comes to Hashem being able to say to Bnei Yisrael what needs to be conveyed to them, this message of only I am there in this relationship, and when Hashem wants to reassure them, it also has to come through the context of this relationship imagery. Even if that meant that Hosea had to put himself through this hardship, and potentially, however we're going to understand it, if it literally happened, if it did not literally happen, however, even if it was just conveyed to Bnei Yisrael, this very strong imagery, because Hashem needed to say to them, I need you to feel the emotions. I need you to realize that right now I am like Hosea. I am the only one in this relationship, and you have strayed from me. But that doesn't mean that it can't be fixed. And that's why we return quickly to the beautiful imagery, V'aras techli be'emunah, V'aras techli le'olam. And Hashem is going to say, right now it is so separate, it is so lost, it is so lonely. But it also provided the context for Hashem to say in the most beautiful, most strong way that our relationship will last forever. And when you recommit yourselves to me and you recommit and you say, I am placing my emunah in Hashem, that's when we will reach this ultimate level of closeness.